You're listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Time to get embarrassed with us.
Ahoy.
Oh, don't even get me started. You want a pirate voice this?
That's the catalyst. All it takes is two syllables, four letters, A-H-O-Y.
You can say ahoy. Say avast ye. It's a lot of things. If you call me a rapscallion, any of those will launch me into pirate mode. I'm resisting right now. This is what you call willpower.
The rapscallions you're listening to are myself, Alon.
And myself, Jimmy.
And we represent Lost and Rewound here on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you would like to submit your fine sounds of the yesteryears, reach out to us via email, lostandrewound@radiofreebrooklyn.org.
That's right. If you were tuning in for the first time, This program is one where we dive into the past, but we dive in ear first.
That's a good way of putting it.
And we try to, uncover any old recordings that people have had, mm-hmm. whether it be on the cassette, 8-track, whether they, etched it on one of those discs that Thomas Edison had 100 years ago.
Yeah.
We want to hear it.
We're now on Podomatic.com. We have a new place for you to be able to listen to our stuff. You can go to SoundCloud, obviously, as we've been doing since even before we came to Radio Free Brooklyn. But you also have Lost and Rewound at Podomatic.com. Whereas on Radio Free Brooklyn, we're filed under experimental. We certainly continue to drive that label forward as much as possible.
But yeah, are we ever going to get any results from this experiment?
We are also on Podomatic. We're listed as personal journals. So today, I think we'll be working more on the personal journals side of things to sort of get everybody who may not be familiar with the Lost and Rewound impetus up to speed, especially if you are hearing us through Podomatic for the first time. And if you are, thank you for listening. And
thank you.
And for all of our new listeners and old listeners alike, this is a helpful reminder that the times that we are living in are most volatile, and we need your financial assistance.
For our artistic endeavors.
Indeed.
So basically, the idea is that we are coming to you right now, commercial-free.
Yes.
It is just us talking just to us. You through radio space.
Only us.
And if you want to keep this magic going, you can, again, donate to keep us alive and kicking. Again, you can do that by going on the interwebs, that's right, to radiofreebrooklyn.org/pledge. Or you can donate
to our show specifically, radiofreebrooklyn.org/LAR. And either way, whether you're given to the community as a whole or to us specifically, any amount of money that you contribute will help us greatly.
Thank you so much for being out there and listening, and let's dive in.
Let's do it. We don't have any guests this week because it's hot out and people don't want to be in New York City in August. It's I didn't.
You know, I just thought to myself and I said, you know what? We've had some great times. Guestless.
Yeah. Just absolutely.
Just the Laurel and Hardy situation. No, except man. That neither of us are the heavy one.
No, we got to take it back to the essence and be able to prove that without a guest, we have plenty of content of which to uncover. And we have, and we will. And hey, the point of doing a show like this is that we have the artillery to make an example of what our show is supposed to sound like. Mid-90s, 93 to 96, roughly, when I was in middle school, I had a tape recorder, gave these tapes a name, the Danziger Zone, this whole entire recording series of which I obsessively, more or less obsessively, recorded 50 fucking tapes. 50. For today's episode, we have a few clips that we have not actually played on the show yet, more because they were not relevant to any of the other discussions before, but lo and behold, some of them are grouped in pieces of which I'm happy to discuss with my buddy Jimmy here, and we can get started with the Danziger Zone related clips so that you kind of get an idea for how this dude here promoted his shit when he was a 4'10 scrawny Jewish kid in Woodstock, New York.
What you'll notice from these clips, ladies and gentlemen, is that not much has changed.
Nope.
Are you tired of all your meat sourcing?
Well, you should get a single baby because then you can live a real life.
Okay. Anyway, that's the commercial. We make it personal, but this is the real commercial. Are you tired of listening to these boring music tapes? No, you know what? Instead, I'm listening to Aerosmith, Metallica,
for your own program.
That was an ad that I made in 1994 in the summer. Ben is likely one of the reasons why I got it in my head that this is something that I should continue doing, because he definitely encouraged that summer when I had my recorder with me a vacation. He was very much into putting funny voices to the recorder, laughing a ton, and making up commercials and stuff. You know, when you have friends who are as creative and inventive and even more intelligent than you, you vibe off that.
If you don't have someone that's, you know, you find to be an intellectual equal and you're trying to do a creative endeavor together, it's difficult. Yeah. How are you going to bounce the idea off of them when you're like talking to them and they're like,
exactly. The best friends that I had were the ones who actually were even more zany in the head than I was. So what ended up occurring was just a sort of a melding of the minds, if you will. You could hear in a lot of these clips with the ideas that Ben had, with the ideas that Brooks and Ryan and all these friends that I had who, you know, played along on the show to give their programs, they are utilizing this medium to try out ideas that they would have otherwise nowhere else to put it, because who is going to hear it? They can just say whatever. And that's what's so magical about hearing something like this, because it is effectively a time capsule in that there's no possible way that someone's going to hear this again, right? I can just be as ridiculous as I want, right?
Well, that's what's crazy about linear time. I think the same
way. We have talked about this before, yes.
It's just that, like, sometimes you do something in a moment and you just don't have this any idea that how that effect will reverberate into the future.
I want to bring out the mentionings of tape titles in that clip. I was mentioning tapes like The Danziger Zone Unplugged. That was an actual title. School's the Limit was a title. Surreal Summer. A few other ones were Lifestyles of the Danziger Zone. And, of course, the first tape, which was Boring Yet Cool. One thing I also heard in there, and maybe you could back me up on this, did I say something like a Panasonic recording simulator where, like, it'll visualize everything that's being recorded, but you can't hear it unless you put the headphones on?
Yeah, he did say something like that.
There's an equivalent for that now. I think it's just called going on an airplane, in-flight movies.
You know, it's one of those things I think about a lot when I was a kid, my hopes for technology in adulthood, and the fact that now the technology is so far past what I thought we would have.
Now it's just whatever comes out. It's like you would think to yourself, how did I not think of that before? I'm thinking to myself about Alexa and just the fact that we can order things just by saying, hey, order me a sandwich. I'm ordering you a sandwich. That's the future right there.
All we need, I mean, we're just a couple of robotic steps away from never having to leave the room again.
That's basically where we're going.
If they design robot helpers and servitors, do you want them to have personality? Do you want them to look human? Or would you rather that they look very robotic so that you disconnect the fact that this thing has a...
Will we have a choice? It's a better question.
Well, I think that's the idea of going forward in robotics, is which direction do you go? I know there's a lot of people who probably say, yeah, make them as lifelike as possible and make them, or at least make them cute. I want to like it. And other people go, don't do that because I don't want them to take over and enslave me. I don't like the Matrix.
Yeah.
In just the short time that we've been alive, the advancements that have been made are staggering. And there's just no telling, man. There's just no telling what the future will bring if this country doesn't implode.
On that note, let's listen to another clip from that trip, because this one, again, more creativity with my buddy Ben Anderson.
Where were you guys traveling to?
We were in Connecticut at his grandparents. They had a cottage.
At Grammy's house.
Yeah.
Grammy make good cooking?
I guess. I don't remember anything about that trip other than my butt getting bit by a dog and going swimming in the lake and then obviously recording.
When your butt got bit by the dog.
Yeah.
Did it break flesh?
Yeah.
Were you bleeding?
I had 3 dagger bites in my right butt cheek.
Ouch, kabibbles.
Yeah, dude. It was no joke. And leave it to me, of course, the guy who has dogs now, to be so stupid to feel like I need to go next door where I don't know that there's a dog who lives next door, but that dog was an outdoor dog and totally tore up. He tore into me and then ran away.
Wow. I have a friend of mine who got bit on his scrot.
Oh!
And he said in that moment, he definitely thought it was the end.
But it wasn't.
No, he's a child now. So
yes!
Things are all gravy.
It all works out in the end.
He definitely showed it to me. After he was like, you want to see the wounds? I was like, I don't know why I do. But it was like you said, it was those dagger-like bites.
Yeah, it was basically the same thing with me. All right, let's take a listen to...
On that image.
Yes, on that image, let's listen to the Danziger Blues.
I'm not the sort of guy that likes to play the piano. I mean, that's the only thing I'm different from people. I mean, so what if I can't play piano? It's not the end of the world for me. Piano's an optional thing. For me, it's chorus. That's not my voice. This is my voice. I come from a household that has
that has someone annoying.
That
is the sister. And boy, is she so tired! I am the house, the Danzig Blues. Yes, right, I'm starting to get a little boozy. And I'm not gonna live this lesson until you make me feel good. I have an annoying sister and one heck of a dad. And I have a really nice mama. And I have a real food cat. I have a cat that's named Peppy. My sister's one is Cupcake. And now the song I'm telling you, I'm telling you that it's not fake. I say I've got the Danziger Blues. I got the Danziger Blues. And if it doesn't feel good, you'll have to do it new. I go to school in Woodstock. Hey, peace, man, you guys. I have to say this for you, Abel. I go to school with you guys. I said, for the sixth grade. Shut up! And I know that I'm not sane. Because I have Miss Butter and I look really good at school because I'm really dumb. That's just what people think, but I am very, very smart. Oh yeah, I'm the Danzig Blues because my household's full of weird foods. And I live in a household with is under construction. We're losing lots of money. I got the Danzig Blues. I got the Danzig Blues. I got the Danzig Blues. Oh yeah, sir, I got the Danzig Blues. Got the Danzig Blues.
Oh Jesus!
Do you still have the Danzig Blues?
Nah, dude. Thank God. I'm going back upstate actually for Labor Day weekend. Feels like several months that I've been back.
When you yelled out "No!" or was that you yelling?
Shut up!
Or shut up! Was that you yelling at your friend?
Yeah, dude.
For what? Backup singing to you?
Yeah, like I feel like this one of the reasons why I've had a hard time playing this clip is because it's not even embarrassing. It's just so telling how fucking egotistical I was when I did this fucking program. But like,
I was wondering. I was like, is he yelling shut up at you for singing? And you were yelling at him for back.
No, but he was a good sport, and then you could hear him. He's like da 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 da. You could hear him like starting up again. No, I mean, hey, what basically happened was I was like, I can sing, and then he was like da 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 da. And true enough, to those who know me in my efforts in musical improv, this is no surprise to anybody that I can just create a spot song out of nowhere. You can give me a tune or a genre. Started up like Ben was doing with the da-na-na-na-na, and I'm like, I guess I'm doing a blues song. Da-na-na-na-na, I don't know what to do. Da-na-na-na-na, I feel so weird. Ba-na-na-na-na, and so do you.
I don't know if I'd sign you.
It's okay. I've got to be independent.
Well, the deal is, you got to talk about some sad shit or the blues don't really work, man.
Right. I mean, I'm a very white, overprivileged kid from upstate who has two cats and his house is under construction. He doesn't get along with the kids that he goes to school with. That's what I was able to ascertain from the Danziger Blues.
It's the same reason people try to do gangster rap about copy paper, how it doesn't work, because it needs the context for the genre to work.
I think if you did it in a very serious manner, and to the point where it was absolutely farce, you can make it happen. One of the best rap songs I ever heard was totally a gangster song, and it was about Hamburger Helper. It was released for April Fool's Day, I think, a year ago, and so good. There's like a trap song. There's like an R&B song. There's like something for everybody.
Hamburger Helper is gangster, though.
Is it, though?
You think the rich people use that?
I've never eaten it. So there goes my white privilege again, I guess, right?
I'm saying, man. People in the hood, they know what's up with that little glove.
So later on in the Danziger Zone years, I produced a top 10 list. I actually wrote this. This was not improvised. My friend Ryan Reich helped me out with this. I was very much a big fan of David Letterman's top 10 list. I never watched his show, but I always listened to his top 10 list the following morning on the radio.
We thought for this countdown special, we could also do a top 10. A top 10 reason thing. Or top 10, like, Dave Letterman kind of thing, you know. And I thought it would be the top 10 reasons. Well, I'll tell you later. Here. Well, let's first start out. The home office in Wahoo, Kansas. Here is the top 10 reasons why to listen to the Danziger Zone. Now, I hear the Danziger Zone is really... Well, wait, hold on. This is me. I'm the one that does it. So I don't have to, okay? Well, anyway. Top 10 reasons why to listen to the Danziger Zone. Number 10. And wait a minute. Before we do this, I've decided that for the countdown, we could have Ryan say everything about it. Ryan will count down the top 10 reasons why to listen to the Danziger Zone. Number 10. Here we go. All right, number 10.
No, I'll do number 10.
You can mess up your brain for free.
Oh, there we go. All right, number 9.
You gotta love those tape titles.
Oh, yeah. All right, number 8.
Because Elon and Dave Letterman both have the same dentists.
Funny. All right, number 7.
It gives your imagination a 10-mile sprint.
All right, number 6.
Because Jackasaurus is the strangest reptile since Newt Gingrich.
Oh, boy, that's it. You couldn't have said it better myself. Number 5.
Cable commercials are prohibited.
Yeah, that's for sure. Number 4.
It's better than the Resnick Zone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, number 3.
What else would you do? Talk to your invisible friend?
Whoa! Guys, stop you from it, Ryan. Where did we get these things from?
Yo, kid.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man. Damn. Danziger Zone must be really good. Number 2.
All right. Number 2, since Elon said, since when do you hear a talking necklace?
DZ, could you wait for a minute?
Yeah, what's up?
Since when did everyone hear a talking necklace like you?
I don't really know, actually. I don't think really anyone's really heard me before. Oh my god. I gotta let my public see me. Just my own little fans.
Okay, well, and the number 1 reason to listen to the Danziger Zone.
All right. As Elon said, we have 3 words. The number 1 reason is... 3 words long. It's a very short one, but it's awesome. Watching sound sucks!
And there you go. Top 10 reasons to listen to the Danziger Zone. Thank you, and good night from Wahoo, Kansas.
Watching sound sucks.
Watching sound sucks.
I think people should watch our show.
They should watch our show?
Yeah.
All right. That is something that technology has consistently helped with. You don't have to be listening to the radio. You could watch it in real time as opposed to watching it after it's been on the air, right? Because like Imus and Rush and Howard Stern and all those guys, they film it, but you can't watch it while they're doing the show. They film it and then they air it on whatever TV show it allows.
Yeah, later, yeah.
Exactly. Whereas now we've got, Facebook Live. We could do that, or Instagram Live, but we're not really even able to do it for the entire duration of the show. Listen to us, damn it.
I've never done a Facebook Live, mostly because I'm not trying to interrupt people's lives.
Yeah, I'm afraid, personally.
You know when those live things, you get an alert about it?
Facebook alerts me when a live thing happens.
I
don't do it? Because I don't have Facebook mobile.
Oh, smart man. See, it alerts me every time somebody goes live.
I'm so sorry.
And I think that I've been interested to watch 1 out of 100.
Okay. But you're friends with a lot of comedians, right? How many comedians do you know that use Facebook Live?
Not that many. It's just everybody, really.
It's an everybody thing. It's not like a... Because I know...
Comics don't often use it for their bits, no.
Okay.
They do, if they have a special thing they're doing, but not often for their bits.
I know Ian Abramson, one just a phenomenal comedian whom, for whatever reason, reached out to me and friended me on Facebook. Because I guess he saw that I was friends with a lot of his friends in the network. And now he's a big man now. He's doing his thing. And he evidently did like a whole Facebook Live of his Mayor McCheese inauguration out in Chicago or L.A. I think it was in. No, I forget where it was. Fuck it.
Hamburger Town.
In Hamburger Town, precisely. So he did like a whole Facebook Live thing, and I thought that was actually pretty freaking brilliant. But yeah, I mean, you really have to be using it for the right reasons. I don't know if I could ever get down with it. In 1996, or I guess it was 95 or 96, watching the sound, I mean, what would you do? I mean, you would basically, I mean, I had no concept of it.
You would look at a waveform file?
Exactly. That's all I do now.
Or you would stare at your radio.
Right.
Or you would light your radio on fire and stare at the flames.
Yes. Wahoo, Kansas. I'm almost certain that was the actual town that Letterman would cite every time he did the top 10 list. I may be wrong, but when I was in camp, I went to a YMCA day camp. And
me too.
I took this whole top 10 list thing further. And every now and again, I would go at assemblies on the stage in front of children, counselors, girls I had crushes on, bus drivers who are just waiting for this shit to end so that they could get these kids back to their respective places. And I would read a top 10 list every now and again that was camp-centric. I think I've talked about this before. The top 10 lists that I created were specifically that, just relating to camp.
Top 10 guesses of what the mystery meat is.
Exactly. And I would always do it in the same kind of thing. Like, here we go. And like, I would just rattle it off. Kind of like Letterman. If you had to create right on the spot, top 10 reasons to listen to Lost and Rewound, what would they be?
I'm going to have to write them off right now. Let's make it happen.
Number 10.
Number 10 reason to listen to Lost and Rewound, because we record in a basement.
Amazing. God, number nine.
To listen to Lost and Rewound is because we're freeform radio, commercial free.
Yep. Freeform. Format is free.
You know it. Number eight reason to listen to Lost and Rewound is because we're coming to you straight out of Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Straight out of Bushwick,
Brooklyn.
Number seven.
Number seven reason to listen to Lost and Rewound is to be able to hear the past, sounds of the past.
To hear the past, yes.
To hear the reverberations of the past, literally to hear the past coming through.
Reverberating into your eardrums.
Reverberating into the present, yeah.
Number six.
Number six reason to listen or Lost and Rewound would be... 10 reasons is hard. How long did it take you to write your 10 reasons? I've got other ones, but I'm trying to like save them for the front.
Dude,
and,
yeah.
And I'm trying to think about... Okay, number six reason, all the great guests.
All the great guests, all of them.
Just fantastic people. That
even the ones who haven't shown up yet, we see you in the future.
I see you in the future. This is a show that is time-based. We see to the past and we see to the future.
We see all of spectrum.
We see all planes.
We see all. Fuck the linear timeline. We know everything.
Number five reason to listen to Lost and Rewound. Jimmy Hoffman. Number four reason, Lon Danziger.
too easy, but that's...
you're two lovely hosts.
Yes, that's true. Number three.
Number three would be bringing back radio as a medium, like having radio as a part of your everyday life. When you thought it was slipping away, we bring it back.
Yes. Number two.
Number two reason to listen is using the past to forecast the future. Is using our show as a lens in order to better understand your everyday life.
And the number one reason to listen to Lost and Rewound.
Just to get your jollies on the toilet.
Zing. Oh god, jollies on the toilet. Perfect.
What's the better reason to listen to any show? any podcast, any radio show.
It's true.
Than to make your toilet trips that much
more. We see you are incontinent fans.
we really understand the importance of helping you guys.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we have more clips from the Danziger Zone to uncover.
On Lost and Rewound,
Radio Free Brooklyn. Up in the mid 90s, we were listening to all the music of the time, watching it on MTV, and of course, because MTV was so prevalent in my childhood, it feels right to share a little bit of the found sounds that occurred from that era of our life.
Nails tour this fall, as Bowie told NBC News at a party last month. The Los Angeles Times has reported that the tour is in fact set and that it will start in September. Head Nail Trent Reznor has in the past cited Bowie's 70s albums as being influences on his music, especially Low, which was produced by Brian Eno, who has also returned to produce Bowie's new one called Outside, which will be out in late September. How might a Bowie Nails tour be received by the concert-going public? According to Gary Bongiovanni, the editor of the concert industry magazine Polestar, any attempt to mix widely divergent audiences can be problematic. Says Bongiovanni, quote, "I don't know that a lot of Bowie's older fans will be ready for Nine Inch Nails."
Wait, am I hearing that correctly, that Kurt Loder was saying there David Bowie fans would not be ready for Nine Inch Nails in the mid-90s?
That is what he was saying. But that, I do feel as though that happened a lot, where they would cross-promote groups, and, you know, one group of fans just wouldn't feel the other, and it, for more similar music than Nine Inch Nails.
Isn't that
Bowie.
The whole point of, like, a festival, though? Like, they do a like the Horde Tour, for example, which is totally dating me, that Blues Traveler created, or the Area 1 festival that Moby created, or Lollapalooza to an even larger effect?
I mean, yeah, but I will always think about that band, the Mars Volta, that they'd been on tour with the Chili Peppers.
Right.
And they had gotten booed off the stage, and they left the tour, I believe. And then when they began to tour, they would tour after that with, like, no opener a lot of the time, because they didn't just wanted pure fans of their own band not to worry about that.
If you had the option, and I mean, this is a question that I would struggle to answer, but maybe you have one better. If you had the option to make three bands play when you were that young, for you, like your three dream bands, do you think those three bands could play together feasibly, or would it definitely not work? And if it did work, who would they be?
What year do we want to use?
Let's say, for sake of argument, 14.
My 14th year. That would be then 2002. And the three bands that I would have wanted to see in 2002 when I was 14, that would have been The Strokes. It would have been probably freshman year of high school. I want to say The Who. I was really into The Who freshman year of high school.
Okay.
And this was right before. This was right before I was getting into metal. I was transitioning. I listened to nu metal in middle school, like many mistaken children did. And then I transitioned out of nu metal when I went to high school. I started listening to classic rock again, and then I started listening to alternative rock. And I'm trying to think, it would probably be either a third alternative rock band or a third classic rock band. I want to say probably like the Franz Ferdinand.
Okay.
The Who, Franz Ferdinand, and The Strokes.
Right.
I don't know if The Who could play with those two other bands.
Okay.
The Who was much heavier and would destroy other instruments. People would go nuts. So.
Wait.
I don't know what Strokes concerts are like.
Nah, I've never seen either.
A bunch of dudes in good, like, nice clothing?
Yeah, maybe.
My friend used to go to a lot of Strokes shows, but I don't feel like they were hard. I don't know. I have to ask him.
But look at Trent Reznor now, man. He's gotten quite a sophisticated career in music. Back then, he was clearly, at least in that story, considered more of a fringe artist as opposed to that of a widely celebrated artist.
Absolutely.
And he is totally a widely celebrated artist.
But what about all the different genres that fall under the umbrella of punk? So I'll hear so many different kinds of bands, and someone goes, oh, we're a punk band. And if I think punk, it's not their sound. What they're doing is a different style, but it's like in that vein. Well, if you ask, I feel like if you asked half of all hardcore bands, like what type of music they play, they go, punk music.
Right. Through and through, it's punk, but they're within the sort of... If you
hardcore punk, I guess.
Right. You get hardcore punk, you get more ska punk, you get more...
Slippery Shoes Punk.
Slippery Shoes Punk.
People are nothing. That's the next generation right there. We're all about forecasting the future here.
Truth. Very true. Let's listen to another MTV-related clip. This is not me doing this voice, but rather a friend of mine at the time, Nate.
It's time for a short Beavis and Butthead sing-along. Old MacDonald... Yeah, he's like a real loser. Yeah. MacDonald, he like has this farm. Yeah, farms are cool. Yeah. But anyway, we have this farm, and we have like some woodpeckers on it.
Amanda, do you like that woodpeckers?
They peck your wood. Yeah. This has been Beavis and Butthead Sing Along.
You were like 7 years old when Beavis and Butthead came out, right?
Yeah, I was a kid when it came out for sure. I remember it. Remember all of it, everyone being into it. Remember playing the video game. Remember the movie came out. Beavis and Butthead was a big deal when I was a kid for sure.
Yeah.
But I remember being young. I remember when it came out being younger and it being inappropriate for me, but like no one cared. Same thing with South Park. South Park came out and I was like 8 years old. It was not appropriate for me to watch, but everyone did anyway.
Right. Do you find yourself into the folks who created these projects more than you are the projects themselves? So like Mike Judge, and you check for his work, and then Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and you check for their work, I suppose. I mean, you can't avoid them.
I think, I guess you are right. I really don't like South Park that much, and I'm not a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. I liked Beavis and Butthead when I was a kid. I never really liked South Park. And you're right that I do like Matt Stone and Trey Parker's work, and I do like Mike Judge's stuff, too. Didn't Mike Judge do Office Space?
Yes. Classic.
But the show that's in that vein that I did like, and I haven't seen in a lot of years, so I have to see if with a critical eye as an adult if I'd like it still, was Ren and Stimpy.
Yes.
I used to really like Ren and Stimpy, and that show was like out there, man.
Oh, yeah. No, we've chatted about it.
Stimpy! Idiot!
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Ren. You know, we were chatting about that a little bit.
It was like last week we were talking
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. Old news, Jimmy. Seriously. Ren and Stimpy was one of my favorite shows. I had Ren and Stimpy stuffed animals. I never played the video games, but I'm glad I didn't because they all look garbage. Total garbage.
I played them. They were nothing special.
Yeah. The Beavis and Butthead video games, too.
The Beavis and Butthead game was goofy. I think we were just into it because it was Beavis and Butthead. That just made it better.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Rocko's Modern Life?
I did.
That show was pretty great.
It was great.
A lighter version of the other ones. I feel like it wasn't as intense with all of the weirdness. It was weird. But it was a lot more farty than it was gross. Innards and faces and, rotted teeth.
And it's back.
Rocko's Modern Life is back.
According to my investigations into social media, it would appear that Rocko's Modern Life has gotten a reboot. I did not watch the whole clip, but it looked like they were just essentially acclimating to new technologies of the now.
Wow. Bringing a lot of stuff back. They brought back Rocko's Modern Life. They brought back StarCraft, the video game.
What?
They completely redid it and remastered it and re-released it. And I'm like, Luke, thinking of upgrading my computer to play it.
That's a big deal.
I used to love that game when I was a kid. And,
Never played it.
And then I just saw an ad on a bus the other day. You know what else they're going to reboot? Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And all the actors have not aged.
They are looking great.
And Megan Mullally, I did not know that she was married to Ron Swanson.
They are like only like the coolest fucking couple. I mean,
and then they're married on the show.
Yeah,
that. But
really, you had no idea.
What is his name in real life again?
Fucking Nick Offerman, man.
Nick Offerman, yeah.
You know he's younger than she is. She is delightful, and he is just incredible. And the both of them are always on talk shows that I get a chance to watch every now and again, and they never stop being funny. They are both really very, very funny. So I knew about Megan Mullally from Will and Grace, and she was probably my favorite character on that show just because she was just so very funny, and I'm just really glad that they're all bringing it back. I don't know if the show will be good.
I don't know if it will either.
I hope people watch it.
I'm always afraid with reboots.
I hope people watch it and that it gets a good reception.
If there's any show they could reboot and you can either choose for them to redo it with the same actors or different actors, which show would it be?
That is a terrible question for me because there's a lot of TV shows that I did not watch in good faith. I would feel very wrong saying...
You can't say one that you haven't seen. You have to choose one that you know and that you like and you want to see it again. You want to see more of it or redone or something. It's a hard one. I already know mine.
Well, why don't you say yours first and then
I want them to reboot. Reboot the TV show. You ever seen Reboot?
Nah.
You never seen Reboot?
Nah.
Reboot was this really... Like when 3D cartoon shows... Not cartoon, but like those 3D shows were new and the 3D was terrible. And it was about the internet, and there was a character named Dot Matrix, and then there's this other guy, and he gets to go into the web, and he comes down, he's all messed up, and the bad guy's named Megabyte. It was so cheesy.
Weird.
But it was great.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad look to have a Perfect Strangers reunion. Just get those guys back. Or no, okay, let's be real serious here. We're going to do a show that'll never work. I'm thinking out loud here, and I'm realizing that Freaks and Geeks should have continued, and it didn't, so there's no way that you could...
Especially when you're saying that now that all these people are famous, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any difference anymore.
Well, did you see...
That show should never have been canceled in the first place, but that's a argument for another podcast.
Did you see the the later years of Wet Hot American Summer?
I have not seen it yet, and I want to see
it. I didn't see the second season yet. I saw the first season.
I want to watch it all, and I have not.
But it's 10 years, 15 years after they did the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is great if you haven't seen it. The Wet Hot American Summer is an awesome film.
Let's move on to the final few clips.
Now we're here with Bobby. Bobby.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hi, want to talk to us?
Sure. I want you to hear some of what we're... playing right now. It's called Dungeons and Dragons, and I hope you enjoy this session. Okay, so where these two players are now is one of them is in jail, and one of them is sneaking away. And he has just stamped on the face of a guy and beated him to death. So.
That's me. That's me, because I'm
cool. All right, right there. There's that guy. Okay. So. So then. Now, Duncan, what do you do?
All right,
suddenly you hear a noise. Who goes there?
Wait, how can you hear?
So that was the only documentation of Dungeons and Dragons that existed in the entirety of the Dansker Zone. And it only gives you a little bit of a piece.
Did you play much?
I didn't.
Yeah.
But I did play Bunnies and Burrows in middle school.
What?
All right, so here's the thing. Dungeons and Dragons, so for some reason, I managed to not play this game at all with any abundance throughout my entire childhood and into my teen years and even into my 20s and 30s. I don't hate the game. It's not that I avoided it. It just went over my head. I was just always like, whatever. It went over my head a little bit. And I am a huge fan of Final Fantasy, all the Squaresoft RPGs, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, pretty much all of my favorite Super Nintendo games when I was growing up. We're all in some kind of involvement with dragons or monsters. The fantasy that took place, you know, on my screen was more exciting to me than creating characters and in a circle with people and, you know, creating scenarios. And I don't know why, really, per se, because I'm doing improv in my, you know, adult life. And I find performing it on stage to be a much more exciting endeavor than just sitting around and trying to, like, create these ideas of which somebody arbitrarily can say yes or no to. But that said, I was involved in some form of a Dungeons & Dragons-type game when I was at Poughkeepsie Day School. Jonathan Hylas, our science teacher, had taken the role as the overseer, the instructor, and effectively the BM, the Bunny Master, for a Watership Down-based Dungeons & Dragons-like game called Bunnies and Burrows. And you played a bunny And you could be a wizard, you could be an attacker, you could be an empath, you could be a thief, etc. All the same things you can get in Dungeons & Dragons, except the one difference is that you're a bunny, and you can't count past five, and everything past five is fiver, so you have no idea how much distance you're actually traveling, and you get eaten up by badgers or cat or dogs or whatever. It's real. Like, it's real. Like, you are much more susceptible to death as a bunny. But the inventiveness of just creating a game out of a book, it's much more inviting than creating a religion out of a book.
Fair enough. I played Dungeons & Dragons a couple of times when I was a kid. My friends played it more. And I found that if you had, you know, the dungeon master, if they were good at telling a story and bringing you along for it, it could be interesting. But all the downtime and how slow it would be, with the same way, with my ADD, I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Like,
too ADD, I needed things to do.
If we were, like, in a town, if we were not fighting a monster, I was pretty bored, I remember. And I remember that I used to incite violence in the game. Because I would be trying to make stuff happen.
You would.
I mean, I was bored. There was times when it would take us like 2 hours, and we would have not even gotten on the quest.
Yeah,
and
precisely.
I'd be like, guys, for real? Like, we'd be climbing a cliff or something, or like something dumb, and it would just take so much time, and it wouldn't be interesting. And I'd be like, there's cool ways to go with this. I still remember there was a moment when I saved the day in Dungeons & Dragons, and it was baller. There was, like, some bad guy that came through, and my character I had specifically designed to be, like, tough as nails and to just be able to be a brawler and fight anybody. And some guy challenged me, and I killed him, and I got this giant axe. And then there was some point we were, like, swarmed, and we were, like, for sure gonna die, you know, statistically. And I had some brilliant idea to light my axe on fire. And with Dungeons & Dragons, you know, your imagination is your weapon. And so I lit my axe on fire. I like demolished, you know, said 100 goblins we needed to kill. We mopped the floor with them. All my friends were just like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And we got all the booty. And after that, we were set. We were like set to jet. We had it made.
I really appreciate the kind of creative outlets that you can definitely put Dungeons & Dragons into. So, for example, I'm almost certain that at the Pit every month you can catch a show that this really awesome, terrific actor friend of mine, Caitlin Noble, is in, called The Campaign, which is just improvised, acted-out versions of Dungeons & Dragons stories. Angel Yao's husband, Grant, is on a Dungeons & Dragons podcast where every week they like keep going on playing the game and, you know, continuing on from where they left off. I don't know if they're still going on, but even better than that, I think, is the Dan Harmon show that name I don't even remember, but leave it to Subway Advertising to getting this through my head that this is a show that exists of which he has, I guess it's like him, a few other people, and then like there'll be a guest every week and they perform this in LA and they have someone animate the whole thing. And while they're doing the whole show, they'll have animated characterizations of everything that's being played. Utilizing Dungeons & Dragons as a sort of foundation, I love that. When I was a child and I wanted to be more stimulated, it seems like it was not as interesting then, but I love how they have utilized it to a point where they can be inspired to create art. No different than the way we're creating art now as adults. But
as an adult, I feel like it'd be more interesting to me now. I feel like I'd have more fun playing it now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I would be more invested in the creative aspect and stretching the game and stretching the reality of the situation.
Yeah,
how far you could, you know, how far you could push what's happening in the constraints of that world, which is, again, I think that's something that it depends on who you are. But I like that idea of, you know, pushing the boundaries of human intelligence and existence. So why not in this imaginary world, right? That's, mm-hmm. that's a perfect place.
Yeah. We have time for one more clip. And on that sort of creating monsters out of nothing at all tip, we have a clip on the tip. Circumcision.
Hi, this is me on the playground. Here I am with James. Watch this. Hi, James.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Why are you doing all the swings?
Trying to chase the Dragon of Doom, Jeremy.
Dragon of Doom? Wow. Who is the Dragon of Doom again?
It's
Jeremy! Jeremy who? Him! Wow, this is so amazing! Jeremy, are you scared?
No!
No, he isn't.
Yeah, Alon, way to be totally crass and talking down to your, shall we say, contemporaries for being creative and creating.
Yeah, you're being really sarcastic. It's so interesting.
So interesting. Excuse me while I go and talk to myself in a Pee Wee Herman voice. Ha ha.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like if your character was in an 80s movie, it would fit perfectly.
Yeah.
They just, like, cut to this guy, like, and, talking to you now.
Yes.
Making sure that we go, you know.
Yeah. That's,
that, you know, forecast all the majesty of the playground.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the kids that were doing that are, to this day, people I don't really talk to very much, but they all turn out to be great people. James got into anime. Jillian is a lovely mother and a great artist. And then Jeremy, the kid who was the Dragon of Doom, became a police officer.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Every time I see a cop coming, I go, ah, here comes the dragon.
The dragon
of doom.
The dragon of doom. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're not going to be playing Dungeons and Dragons, you're just like right there on the playground, you're just going to be a little more inventive and be like, I'm going to chase the dragon.
I just don't like the prejudice that was existing on that playground at the time.
Were you into dragons just as a like a general rule? Like, did you think that dragons...
I'm Year of the Dragon.
I'm
Year of the Dragon, man. I've always liked dragons.
And unicorns and like the whole fantasy realm.
Unicorns are lame.
Unicorns are lame. Dragons over unicorns.
I like narwhals. They're not mystical, are they?
Wait, what are narwhals? They're just whales, right?
They're whales with a horn on them. Like a unicorn.
I see.
I think they're very rare. I don't think they're mystical, though.
The fact of having an interest in these characters or griffins or whatever, you know.
I like griffins. I just think unicorns to me were lame because it was just a horse with a horn on it. Like, there was nothing that special about it.
Mm-hmm.
In all these other instances, there was a lot more happening. A griffin is a mixture of animals, you know. A dragon is a mixture of animals, and that was exciting to me. A chimera, for instance, the same way.
Mr. Tour Guide, have you been to the cloisters?
I have been to the cloisters many times.
They have that whole tapestry room there with all the unicorns.
I will have to say that when I see old medieval art depicting unicorn hunts, it's awesome. So you're right. I do like those tapestries.
They didn't hunt dragons. They hunted unicorns.
The unicorn hunt was a thing. Yeah. Well, because it made more sense that it could possibly exist without you knowing about it. A dragon, you know, you'd know.
You would know.
You would know. It wouldn't be like a secret dragon. Ooh.
Like you're not going to be able to really truly tell if the water is purified, but you will definitely know if a house got charred to
a crisp. That's what I'm saying. Like a unicorn is like in the forest somewhere running around. That's the idea.
What did griffins do then? Or what did minotaurs even do?
Suppose? Minotaurs guarded labyrinths.
All right.
Griffins, you rode them, but I don't remember the context of who was riding.
You rode them like Neverending Story?
Like Falcor?
Yeah, man.
I want to ride Falcor so bad. Like, I feel like the very first idea for a comedy album picture was just a picture of me riding Falcor. That was like my just going, yeah! Like, that was my initial idea.
Make it happen, it happened.
I've watched The NeverEnding Story too many times.
See, you were asking me before if, like, there was a movie or a TV show that would be recreated, right?
That would be a good one.
It would be a good one, especially since my parents would not let me see that when I was a kid.
It was weird. It was like going down the rabbit hole kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I didn't see Legend either when I was a kid, because that shit's pretty sad, too. All of it's sad. Anyway, if you would like to, again, contribute to our show, email us directly at lostandrewound@radiofreebrooklyn.org. We are everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, and as you know, on our new website, lostandrewound.podomatic.com. Thank you all so very much for being with us this week, and we'll be back next week with a guest so that I won't have to be talking so much.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Lost and Rewound, Radio Free Brooklyn.
here. Don't creep up on me like that. Well, I'm gonna... What the heck do you want?
Well, we actually have a rather odd request, you see.
Don't tell me you've come to get your buddy's brain back, right?
Yeah.
I'll be glad to give it back to you. Help yourself. I wish you kids would stop sitting so close.
That's pretty weird, huh?
Their brain's all right. Better get started, Philbert.
I wonder what Heifer's brain looks like.
Cluck, cluck.